This morning, I'd like to draw your attention to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 through 10. And we want to call it U-turn for Christ. And so in chapter 1, in verses 9 and 10, we find very simply, "For they themselves showed of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." I think there are three great days in my life. There was the day that I came to Christ, the day that I was just a real mess. I weighed 130 pounds. My hair was down to my waist in a ponytail. I had a goatee. I remember that. It was about 10 inches long with three rubber bands. And I had two earrings in both ears, and I had a 9mm gun in my back pocket. And I had motorcycle boots and hadn't taken a bath for 6 months and hadn't brushed my teeth probably for 5 months. And I had a bullet through my leg, and I was in bad shape. And I remember vividly that I was sleeping in the street because I had no place to go, couldn't turn myself in. I was wanted. I had to kind of fend for myself. And one day, this couple came out, and they were about ready to get into the car, Shirley and Henry. And they picked me up, and by the grace of God, that they were not afraid. They took me inside, they fed me, and then they asked if I would like to come with them to church. And so they took me to this little tiny church, about 300 people. It was called Calvary Chapel. And I sat there in the very front row. I remember so well, looking up at Pastor Chuck. I had bib overalls on, and I had patches, and I was just kind of dinged out, took LSD the night before. And as he was ministering the Word of God, God just got a hold of my heart. And God just touched me in a way that I've never been touched before. And that night, when I went to bed, I went into a Christian home. They took me over to a Christian home. And this little tiny guy, about 5 foot, looked up at me and said, "Do you have a gun?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Let me have your gun." So I gave him the gun. He says, "Now, let's pray." He had a lot of wisdom. And all of a sudden, all I remember vividly was he had this Thompson chain reference that was the biggest Bible I've ever seen in my life. And I had this little tiny gun. And my sword was smaller than his sword. And so I gave it up, accepted Christ, and that night had a dream. And God woke me up and said, "I've called you to the ministry, and I'm going to use you, and you're going to be a teacher." And that was it. I remember that as much as I stand today, and God touched me, and I knew in my heart that God had healed me. The second great day of my life was a couple days later when I was in the bathroom, and God said, "Stephen, it's now time to get rid of the drugs." I had about $10,000 worth of drugs, and back then it was a lot of money, and I thought, "I'll give it to Calvary Chapel." I didn't know what to do. I mean, I thought, you know, they will get rid of it for me, and good thing to do. And I thought, well, I don't want to, because I met Romaine and I didn't want to have to deal with Romaine. And so I figured that was not a good idea. The second thing that came to my mind is I'll give it back to the drug dealers. And I thought, that's a good idea, so they don't come after me. I was so afraid I was going to get killed. And so I'll give it back to them. And I had this horrible gut-wrenching feeling in my heart that the moment I would show up, we'd all be busted and I'd end up in jail. And I just couldn't go back. I just knew I couldn't do that. And as I was brushing my teeth, the third option came, and I looked down at the toilet. And I said, "No, God, no. Don't, no, no." And I just knew that was the right decision. So I went and got it and began to flush it. And I was in the bathroom for over an hour, like 30-some flushes, you know. And all I could think about is how stoned the fishes were going to be that day. I mean, I just knew that when this stuff hit the ocean, they were going to be just wiped out. And when it was that last moment of the flush, the last baggie went out, and it was all done, and I flushed the toilet, it was like right then God just filled me with the power of the Holy Spirit. And God turned my life. In other words, I knew something really, really big happened. And probably the third greatest day is the day that I met my wife. Didn't want to get married, didn't like to date, didn't want to date at all. I was fed up with that, wanted to be Paul the Apostle, wanted to teach, knew the calling of God, didn't want to be messing around. And then one day, God brought this blonde in front of me. And I looked at her, and I heard this voice, "There's your wife." And I said to myself, "Get thee behind me, Satan, no way." I'm telling God, no way. People who are married are miserable, no way. I want to serve God, I want to read my Bible, I don't want to do this. And then I went and opened my Bible that night, and the Bible opened up to, "He that finds a wife findeth a good thing and have favor with the Lord." So I closed my Bible, I said, "No, God, no way." And then I remember I was taking a shower, and God said, "Call her. She's lonely, she's crying, and if you call her, she'll come right up." And she lived in Costa Mesa, and I was in Victorville running this Christian house. And so I said, "Fine, I got you." So I called her up, and she was crying. I go, "Why are you crying?" She goes, "It's my birthday." And I said, "Oh no, Lord, help me." I said, "Would you come up and talk to me?" She goes, "I'll be right up in 2 hours." I said, "Oh God, what am I going to do now?" And she thought she was going to move in, and I was going to ask her to marry me. Just met her. Thought, better get this gal, you know, got things to do. Get married, get going, get a family, serve God. That's all there is to it. So she came up. She walked in the door, and I said, "Are you dating anybody?" She goes, "No." I said, "Do you like anybody?" "No." I said, "Will you marry me?" She goes, "Yeah." And so I shook her hand, you know. You know, you couldn't kiss back then. You know, you go to hell if you kissed. I mean, it was revival. I mean, I shook her hand and kissed her forehead. So I called my mom, and I said, "Mom, I'm getting married." She said, "Well, Stephen, I just saw you the other day." I said, "Well, I just met her." "Well, what's her last name?" "I didn't ask her. I'll call you back." So my poor mother went through it, you know. So I called up. I said, "Hey, Gail, what's your last name?" And so she told me. And so I called my mother. My mother says, "Are you sure?" I said, "Yeah, we're getting married next week. You better get going." And so we got married the following week. Couldn't really provide anything. Went out in the desert, found me a pole, turned it upside down, stuck in the ground, wrapped it with paper, and put a dove on it. And we got married out there. Mustard Seed Faith came out and did the thing and got married 33 years ago. Had a wonderful time. But, yeah. But I don't think you ought to do that, personally. That's pretty dangerous. But all I want to say is that God had his hands on me in the early days of my life. And so this passage really becomes, I believe, something that you need to hang on to. Because it talks about turning around. And so he declares three simple things I want to teach you this morning. Number one, that they turned in verse 9. But secondly, they served. They served in verse 9. And thirdly, not only did they turn and serve, but also they waited in verse 10. And so this church in Thessalonica, Paul spent 3 weeks with them, 3 Sabbath days reasoning, laying out the foundation, and it became one of the great churches of the early days. And we find that they did something that we need to kind of pattern our life. And I believe that if we could remember these three things, it will really help us. Concerning the past, we are to turn. Concerning the present, we are to serve. Concerning the future, we are to be looking for the coming of Christ. And so when I look at the past, the present, the future, I realize that God has turned my life that day that I flushed the drugs down the toilet. And I realize that I've been serving God to the best of my ability for some 30-some years. But I believe that the thing that has got me through is that I'm looking for the coming of Christ every day of my waking hour, longing and looking for Him coming, knowing that I don't want to be smoking a joint when the Lord's come. And I don't want to be between sheets with another person that I shouldn't be with when the Lord comes. And I don't want to be drunk doing things I ought not to be wanting to do. In other words, I want to occupy, I want to serve. And when I look at my life and I look at your life, it really comes down to a very simple equation. Either you're going to serve God or you're going to serve Satan. You got to choose your master, as Bob Dylan sings. You got to choose the one you're going to serve, and you're going to be faithful to that one. So if you're serving the world, you're not going to be faithful to God, because Christ is coming. And so Paul said here, very simply, they turned, for they themselves showed us of what manner of entering in we had unto you. How do you turn to God from idols to serve the living God? So these Thessalonians were serving idols, but now they're serving a living God. They were in bondage to sin, but now they're in love with their Savior. They were once alienated from God, but now they are part of the common work that God is doing by the power of the Holy Spirit. They were once way out, but now they're close. Just like we are. We were way out, but we are now turned around. And I remember the first day I got saved, it was quite an experience. We were on a gardening trip and going down the road, and we were going to garden. We had 10 guys in this huge gardening team that ran the house ministries, and we were doing people's yards. And I remember that I pulled out a joint and began to smoke it. And this guy looked over and said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm smoking a joint. You want one?" And he took it out of my mouth and threw it out the car. He says, "You can't do that no more." I go, "What?" He says, "You're a Christian." I said, "Well, no one told me that. They said all I got to do is ask Jesus into my heart. Oh, there's a lot more you don't know. I'm going to teach you today." And so we went working all day, and it was a long, hot day, and we were thirsty, and we all went and got something to drink. And so they got Cokes, and I went and got a beer. And so come out, and I'm drinking my beer, and they're drinking their Coke, and the elder of the house said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm drinking a beer. You want a sip?" He said, "Yeah." He took it and poured it out. He says, "You can't do that either." I go, "What?" And so on the way home, I never forgot it, going through Huntington Beach, there are the most two beautiful women I've ever seen. I said, "Hey, let's pick those babes up and take them home." And he looked at me and said, "Stephen, no more women." I went, "You're kidding me. No drugs? No. No alcohol? No. No women? No. What do we do?" He says, "You serve God for the rest of your life." And that man changed my life. He says, "You're going to have no time for sin because you're going to be so busy serving God." And he laid a foundation on my life that really did a work, turning. I think God did the very same thing for Paul. You remember that he was headstrong, knowing what he wanted to do. He was bent on bringing the church into a horrible persecution. He was making havoc with the church of God. He was seeking to destroy it and going after it and had papers from Damascus and ready to do a work. And on his way into Damascus, it was Jesus Christ that met him head on. And the Bible says that God turned him around. He was blinded, and Paul stood up and said, "Lord," I like that, "Lord," in other words, submission, "what would you have me to do?" And God said to Paul, "I'm going to show you the great things you're going to suffer for my name's sake." And Paul became that great example that we find. And nothing would stop him. He said later on that he was apprehended, and that's a key word to remember, that you were apprehended. God arrested you. God handcuffed you. God took you out of that horrible sin and brought you into the kingdom of God, and God has set you free. And Paul went on to say that, "I'm not what I used to be, but I press towards the mark of the high calling." And the word "press" means to agonize. Paul was saying, "I'm agonizing, I'm persecuted, I'm striving for the mastery of Jesus Christ, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering." In other words, he was bent on knowing God. But God took him and turned him. God loves turning the tables in your life. And then John, you remember, he was one that God turned. And the great day in John's life is when God ran into his life. And Jesus said to John, "You don't know what spirit you're of." And the reason why is because they rejected John and the message of Christ. And John said, "Can we call down fire from heaven and consume these puppies? I mean, can we just toast them?" And Jesus said, "No, John, you can't do that." Jesus said, "You're called sons of thunder. You want to bring thunder down upon everybody else that don't like you." And yet at the age of 90, we see John saying, "My little children, love one another." You see, God got a hold of John and turned his anger into tremendous love. And God got a hold of Peter and took his cursing mouth and turned it into a preaching machine. And God got a hold of Paul in the driving force and wrote 17 books of the New Testament, and God wants to get a hold of you. And the wonderful thing I did, I remember so vividly, is I honestly gave God what he wanted. Not that I've always done that, but when it comes down to understanding what God wants, "God, you can have it, because I don't want to go backwards." And so Paul was saying they turned. They did an about face. They walked away from Satan. They went over to Christ. They left this habit and begin to have new habits within their life. But secondly, not only did they turn, but secondly, notice it says that they served. In verse 9, It says, "For they themselves showed us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living God." And how we serve is so important. It was a time that we were building the other church, and it was a Sunday morning. Everyone left, and we had plumbing problems. And I was down digging in a pit 13 feet under the ground. And no one was there to help. And I had an attitude with the church. And I'm thinking, I got to teach, and now I got to do the plumbing, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. Finally, I had to go home and get ready for Sunday night. And on my way home on the 405 freeway, I heard this little story this guy was saying about a little Korean boy that was hired by these little three Marines. And the little Korean boy was hired, and the Marine said, "Listen, all we want you to do is feed us lunch and breakfast and dinner, and we'll pay you very well." And so the first morning when the Korean boy woke up, he went to grab his shoes, but the Marines nailed his shoes to the ground. And so this little Korean boy very gently just took the shoes out and took the nails out, put the shoes on, fixed a wonderful breakfast. And the Marines are kind of scratching their head thinking, "Oh, this kid's really something else." And I'm driving down the freeway saying, "Oh God, help me to be like this little Korean boy. Help me to get over my situation. Help me to be a servant." And so the next day, the little Korean boy woke up and went to cook breakfast, and he grabbed the knobs, and there was Vaseline all over the knobs. So he wiped them up and cleaned his hands off and went and fixed him a wonderful breakfast and then a lunch. And these guys are saying, "Man, this kid's really something." And so they said, "We're going to get him the third day." And so he walked out of his room, and a bucket of oil, 30-weight oil, hit him on the head with flour, and he was just drenched. And so he cleaned everything up, took a shower, and fixed him dinner. And I'm thinking, "Oh God, I've never served you this way before. I repent." And I'm going down the 405 freeway. And so the Marines bring this little boy and they say, "No more. We're not going to nail your shoes to the ground. And we're not going to put Vaseline on the knobs. And we're not going to put oil on your head." And I'm thinking, "Oh God, help me to be like this little boy." And all of a sudden, a little Korean boy said, "You mean no more Nelly shoe to the ground? No more. No more Vaseline on the knobs? Nope. No more oily on the head? Nope." And I'm driving on the freeway saying, "Yes, God, yes, God." And then the little Korean boy said, "Then no more spitting in your soup." And as God is my witness, I pulled over to the Ivy and start crying. And God said, "Stephen, you have been spitting in the soup, and I don't like it. Either you get out, or you serve with the right attitude. It's your choice." And there are some of us that are serving God, but we're spitting in the soup. And for all that God has done, you need to serve Him for the rest of your life and never complain again, ever. If you never get what you want, there's room on Calvary for your sins. God forgave you for all the things you have done. We find that Samson wouldn't do it. God gave him the power, but he abused and prostituted his power for himself and used the giftings of God to satisfy his own fleshly desires. And when God all of a sudden begins to get the very thing he's after, and you turn, and secondly, you serve with all of your heart, it's a wonderful day in your life. And thirdly, I'm to be looking. And Paul mentions here in verse 10, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." And God delivers you from that horrible wrath, because in the New Testament, it declares that they will cry out, "Fall on us, for the day of his wrath has come." And the Bible declares that God knows how to deliver us from the wrath that we would stand before the Son of God. I believe that God's going to take the church out. And I believe that God's going to remove us. And I remember one last little story that kind of fits really well. About a week into my Christian walk, I remember going to Costa Mesa and hearing a message by Pastor Chuck. And it was a powerful message about being left behind. And he was talking about those that are going to be left behind. And I began to realize it might be me. And I was just young, didn't know any better. And I remember getting in a fight with my elder and yelling at him and even cussing him out. I was kind of green, not knowing that cussing was wrong either. And so God really had to do a work, and I was punished. I got punished at the house. I had to go out into an outhouse that they turned into a prayer room, and they put molding in there and cushions so you could hit it and get your anger out. And, you know, you always see this prayer room kind of bouncing back and forth. But it was where God really got a hold of my heart and said, "Stephen, you're wrong." But that day we had to go out gardening. And we were gardening, and all of a sudden we had three lawnmowers in the back, snappers, and one in the front. We had two edgers, and we had a push vacuum. I remember it as if it was yesterday. And I had this attitude, and I was mad, and because I felt that I was abused, I wasn't right. And this message is going through my mind, be left behind. And I'm saying, "Oh Lord, you're never going to leave me behind. I'm too good." So I went to the backyard, and no one was there. The three lawnmowers were going. The edger was going. I thought, well, this is kind of weird. Where did they go? I mean, surely you just don't leave lawnmowers going. I'm logical. You turn them off so kids don't get hurt. Why would they leave three lawnmowers going and the edger going? And so I went down the side of the house towards the front, looked across the street, and there was a car door open with the engine running. I thought, well, you just never, ever leave a car running with a door open. I mean, someone could take it. I'm thinking, well, the lawnmowers in the car, no, it couldn't have happened. I came around the corner, and there was a lawnmower, a vacuum cleaner, and an edger all running, and no one on the street. A door was open. And I just hit my knees. And I started crying out, earrings, goatee, long hair, "God, it's not too late. You can bring me. You can take me. I'm not that heavy. God, come get me, please." I'm just dying, because I knew the rapture came. And then the garage door opened, and all my friends came out with iced tea. And, of course, you can fill the story in. She asked them to come in to give them iced tea. And they asked me, "What are you doing on your knees? Why are you crying?" And then when I got up, I made a covenant that I would never, ever miss the rapture. It was the most horrible thought. The Bible says, "He that has his hope purifies himself." It's not works, it's faith. And so what God has done in my life, he can do in your life. But you got to turn. You really got to turn. Secondly, you really got to serve. Not serve the staff or serve the pastors or serve the congregation or serve your husband or serve your wife. You really got to serve God, period. And then when you go through difficult times, you need to look up, because your redemption's coming. And he's right around the corner. And he's going to deliver you out of this horrible mess and present you faultless before the Son of God.